Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the 8th parak of Maseches Erevin. Today we are learning parak Ches Mishnah Gimel and parak Ches Mishnah Dalet. The remaining Mishnayos of parak Ches are going to be discussing the halachos of Erevei Chatzeros. The first halacha that we're going to be discussing is regarding a situation of a courtyard that contains a building with a porch that is at least 10 tefachim above the ground level, and then an additional ladder connecting the porch to the ground. If you have a Mishnah with the pictures, then certainly that might help. Again, you have a building. That building leads down to a porch. That porch is 10 tefachim above the ground, and then you take an additional ladder down from that porch to the chatzer, to the courtyard. Now the homes on the upper level, they open up into the porch, and the residents of that level go down the ladder again through the courtyard to reach the street, to reach the courtyard, and then homes on the ground level itself are going to open directly into the actual courtyard. Now, since the porch is separated from the floor of the courtyard by a height of 10 tefachim, it is essentially considered to be a separate chatzer, a separate courtyard, and the ladder that connects them is considered the equivalent of a door itself. Therefore, the porch and the courtyard are like two separate the porch and the courtyard are like two separate courtyards that happen to also be connected by a door, and they have the option of uniting into one eruv or making two separate eruvim. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss a case where they remain separate, where they did not make one united eruv, where they made separate eruvs. Says the Mishnah, Anshe Chatzer v'Anshe Marpeset, Sheshachchu v'lo ervu. If the residents of the ground level of a courtyard and the residents of the porch forgot to make a joint eruv, but they did make separate eruvim that they may each carry on their own level, but not from one to the other. Says the Mishnah, Kol shegavo asara tefachim l'marpeses, that any post or any elevated area that rises 10 tefachim above the courtyard's floor is considered to be part of the porch, because the people who live by the porch have easier access to it than the people who live in the courtyard. And therefore, objects will be able to be carried between this post or this elevated area and the porch, but not between the elevated area and the courtyard. And says the Mishnah, Pachos mikan l'chatzer, if however this elevated area rises less than 10 tefachim above the courtyard's floor, then it is viewed as belonging to the rishus, to the domain, to the area of the courtyard as well as of the porch, because it is equally accessible to both the porch and the courtyard itself. Since carrying between the courtyard and the porch is forbidden, it would therefore be usher to carry between the elevated area and either area. It continues the mission in order to bring this halacha home a little bit. Chulias habor v'hasela gavohim asar tefachim l'marpesas. If either a mound of earth surrounding a pit or a rock is 10 tefachim high and it stands in the courtyard near the porch, then the mound of the rock is considered to belong to the porch for the purposes of Eruv, and therefore objects would be allowed to be carried between the mound or the rock and the porch, but not between them and the courtyard. And Pachos Mikan L'Chater, and if they're less than 10 tefachim above the courtyard floor, then they would belong to the chatzer, they belong to the courtyard, and therefore the residents of the courtyard and the porch who have not united in one Eruv would not be allowed to carry between the mound or rock and either area. Continuing in the Mishnah, Bamed Devarim Amurim Bismucha, says the Mishnah, what case are we referring to that the top of the 10 tefachim mound would belong to the porch? Regarding a situation where the top of the mound, the top of this elevated area, is close enough to the porch to guarantee easy access. Avol b'muflegas hafilu gavoa asara tefachim l'chatzer. But when the top of the mound is far from the porch, even if the elevated area is 10 tefachim high, it would belong both to the courtyard and to the porch, since it is no more accessible to one area than the other. And finishes off the mission of Ezo, Hismucha, what is considered close to the porch, Kol She'eino Rechoka Arba Tefachim, anything that is not four tefachim away from the porch is considered close to it. Anything beyond four tefachim would be considered further, and therefore would belong to both the porch and the chatzer itself. Now, as we continue in Perek Ches to Perek Ches Mishnah Dalet, in order to establish an Erev Echatzer, like we learned earlier, all residents of the courtyard need to place some sort of bread into one home. The Mishnah is going to discuss and list which structures have the status of a residence for the purpose of allowing you to leave your Erev in that place for Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Hanosin Eseiruv Bebeis Shar Achsadja Umir Pesa. If someone places his Eruv in either some sort of a gatehouse, which is like, as the Bartanura points out, the small area, the small structure and building at the beginning of the courtyard's gate, where a guard would be posted in order to keep non-residents from entering the courtyard, or, says the Mishnah, if the Eruv was placed in some sort of a gazebo-type structure where there are no walls, but there are columns, or if they were placed on a porch, Eino Eruv, says the Mishnah, it is not valid Eruv, because these structures are not fit for someone to live in. And therefore, v'hadar sham eino osur alav. And therefore, if someone were to live actually in one of these types of structures and buildings, and does not contribute to the eruv, he would not prohibit others from carrying between their homes and the courtyard. That since the person is staying in a structure that is unfit to live in, he's not considered to be a resident of the courtyard. So the eruv is valid, even if he doesn't participate, even if he doesn't contribute. Some additional examples of buildings, but in these cases, they're not homes, but they're still considered to be fit to live in. Bebeis ha-tavenu, bebeis ha-bakar, bebeis ha-etim, bebeis ha-utsaro, says the Mishnah, that if the Erev was placed either in a shed that was used for straw, or in a barn, or in a shed that was where people would keep wood, or in some sort of a storehouse located in the courtyard, says the Mishnah, harei ze Erev, this is considered to be a valid Erev because these buildings are fit for a person to live in. As the Meiri points out, that since these buildings are fit for people to live in, the Erev may be placed in them, even though they are currently only being used for storage. And says the Mishnah, v'hadar sham osur alav. And therefore, if someone does live in any of these buildings and he does not contribute to the Erev, then he would prohibit the Erev from working, and he therefore prohibit the other residents of the courtyard from carrying between their homes and the chatzer. Now, continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im yesh sham tfisas yad shel bal habayis, that if the owner of the courtyard still has a hand in the building that he rented or lent to someone, meaning, what does that mean that he has a hand in it? It means the owner reserved the right to store his own belongings somewhere in that building, and he did so for at least this particular Shabbos. So the question is, let's say the occupant, the person living in the house, doesn't contribute to the Erev, so if he doesn't contribute, then he would prohibit everyone, theoretically, from having an Erev, from carrying from their courtyard to their home and vice versa. But says the Mishnah, Eino Osur Alav, the occupant in this situation would not prohibit the owner or anyone else from carrying between his home and the courtyard if he didn't contribute to the Eruv. That since the owner did not totally withdraw from the building, he is considered to be the legal resident and the occupant of the building, and the person actually living in the building is simply viewed as a guest, and guests, generally speaking, are not required to contribute to the Eruv Echatzer, so we wouldn't passel the Erev for that in that situation. Quick review, Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel. Discuss this case where you have these homes that are leading out to this porch, and the porch has an additional ladder that leads out to the courtyard. There are homes that lead out to the porch. There are homes separately that lead out to the courtyard. And we said that they can make one joint Eruv together. It's essentially like there's a door in between the two chatzeros. And we learned earlier that when there's a door between the two chatzeros, then they can unite for one Eruv, or they can have two separate Eruvs. So in this situation of our Mishnah, it was a case where they had two separate Erevs. So the Mishnah said that if the residents of the ground and those of the porch did not make an Erev, then any elevated area that rises above 10 tefachim, above the courtyard, would be considered to belong to the porch, because again, the people in the porch have easier access to it. But like we said later in the Mishnah, that's only true if it's within 4 tefachim of the porch. If it's beyond 4 tefachim, then it's considered to be both accessible to the people living by the porch and the people living in the courtyard, in which case you wouldn't be allowed to carry to and from it at all. It would only be a situation where if it's within 4 tefachim of the porch and it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, then the people living by the porch would have access to it, would be able to carry to and from it in that situation. And then Perichas Mishnah Dalid discussed what types of structures qualify as a residence to house an Erev. So we said that if someone plays an Erev in either a gatehouse or a gazebo or something sort of like that, some sort of a porch area without walls, it's not considered to be a valid Erev, and therefore if someone does live there and doesn't contribute to the Erev, he would not destroy and disqualify the Erev from taking effect. However, if the Erev was placed in either a shed used for shore, a barn, or a woodshed, or a storehouse, then these are considered to be structures fit for sleeping, even if they're used as storage facilities, and therefore you would be able to place the Erev there. If someone did live in those buildings, then they would passel and disqualify the Erev from being used again, because if a person is living in a place of residence there and it doesn't contribute to the Erev, then you would disqualify the Erev from taking effect. And the Mishnah concluded by teaching us that when you have a building or a home where the person who actually owns the building has some sort of a tefisa, some sort of a hand in it, that he still keeps some stuff there. So if he contributes to the Erev, but the person actually living, renting it, or living in there does not contribute, then the person living in there really is considered to be a guest who does not normally have to participate and would not disqualify an Erev from taking effect. And as long as the person who actually owns it and is storing his stuff there is participating in the Erev, then the Erev would take effect. Have a great day.